cut the music. All right, cut the music. This was going to be the Dankoff Report. And it may be the Dankoff Report if you play your cards right. But right now we got Pastor Dankoff, and he's tied up and he's back in the kitchen. We were going to put him in the closet, but he wouldn't go in the closet. He said there were too many Republicans in there. He wouldn't go in with Mitch McConnell and Kevin McCarthy because he says he's claustrophobic. I mean, because he says he's homophobic. But we're going to put him in that closet unless you send RBN badly needed ransom money. All right? So listen up. I'm going to tell you this, and I'm only going to tell you once. You send the ransom to RBN at 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Or you can phone it in. Mike will take the money. Sam will take the money. Even Julie will take the money. Phone it into 1-800-724-2719, extension 3. All right, Jeremy, you got any other threats before we throw the pastor into the closet with the Republicans where they're caucusing? Yeah, they're doing gay caucusing.
Lindsey Graham is in there, and he said that Dankoff character is pretty hot to trot, so you guys better send some money in, like, now.
I'm That's armed, right. too.
That's right. We forgot that.
Don't Pastor forget that. I'm ready to go with Lindsey.
Pastor is armed to the teeth. He's armed to the teeth. That's right. All right. Anyway, so I just wanted – I didn't know that we were going to have Mark with us, so I was all prepared. But take it away, Mark.
Hello, Texas, America, and the world. This is the Dankoff Report, also known as the Mark, Patrick, and Jeremy Hour on the Republic Broadcasting Network today. Let me just mention some of the possible topics of conversation, and then God only knows where Patrick and Jeremy are going to take us. Let's take a look at what we have up there on the big board on VKontakte, and that link will be posted with this show after we are finished. Patrick took a great photo, by the way, of my late father's Freedom Rock in Fremont County, Iowa recently. That is in the show description if you're wondering why my dad's moniker on that rock is included in this particular show. That's the reason for it. Let's go on then. Idiot of the Week. Ursula von der Leyen wins again. I'll let you read why. We posted something about saluting an Iranian Christian martyr. That comes to us from Press Television. We've got all kinds of things up there on Tucker Carlson. I'd ask you to pay particular note to an article that deals with Tucker Carlson and the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith, also known as the ADL. What is their reaction to this Carlson firing? It should be very revealing if you read that article. Ron DeSantis, once again, is in Israel. At least he was a day or two ago. He might still be there. That's up there from CNN. It seems that Governor DeSantis is running for the presidency of the United States and reaffirming himself as governor of Florida, increasingly so from the Zionist state. In this particular case, he was kind of hanging out in Jerusalem. The Trump trial posted something on that. If the guys are interested in discussing that, we've got a ton of material up there on Robert F. Kennedy Jr. And his run for the Democratic nomination for the presidency. It's interesting to watch the Democratic National Committee fumble around with that, as well as a terrified news media. The DNC has canceled all DNC-sponsored debates during the Democrat primaries. You can imagine why. Joe Biden against RFK Jr., that would be about me pairing up in the ring with Mike Tyson and Muhammad Ali and Joe Frazier and George Foreman combined. There would be little left of Biden's body parts after a televised debate of that sort. We have plenty of stuff up there on the Russian-Ukrainian conflict. Two things I'll simply highlight from that. Take a look at the link from Larry Johnson, ex-CIA analyst. He's one of the best in the business in covering what is going on, of course, now in the Russian-Ukrainian war. His website is at the Mark Dankoff Catacomb site on WordPress. Larry Johnson at sonar21.com, I believe, has a story entitled The Anti-God Subtext of the Ukrainian War. You must read that story for greater understanding. If you're interested in the military hardware and the whole question of analyzing Russian and Ukrainian air power going into whichever side is going to launch its offensive first, take a look at Brian Berletic, as usual, at the New Atlas. That's a video. We put that one up there. Paula V was in Israel recently. My post for VT is up there on that particular subject. Then, of course, we have American culture, quote-unquote, in action. All kinds of things going on there, including the transgender ad catastrophe that has been going on with Bud Light and other Anheuser-Busch products. And then last but not least, we certainly have a great war story up there, a war story that you will like, a war story that reaffirms the existence of God. I'll let you take a look at the post itself and the VK link or on the big board. And with that in mind, we'll turn this thing over again to Patrick and to Jeremy. We go in whatever direction you guys want to go in.
Yeah. Hey, I just want to say that when I, you know, I'm on this White Boy Summer road trip, April edition, and I was...
Are you on Duke's Aryan diet, by the way?
No, I'm not. But
you communist.
Anyway, I don't even know what that means. But I was going to the Omaha Zoo, and I'm passing by. No, I'm serious. I wanted to look at the animals, but also look at the animals are fine. The humans are in bad shape.
Is Admiral Levine there?
Yeah. Oh.
Okay. The Omaha Zoo.
The Omaha Zoo. And I see this sign for Hamburg, Iowa. And I'm thinking, Hamburg, Iowa, where have I heard of that? And I contacted Mark real fast. And he said, yeah, I said, isn't that where your dad's from? And he said, yeah. And I thought, I just thought I'd pull in. So I pull in and, I'm just walking around just thinking, okay, this is where Colonel Dankoff was from. Can I say it was the middle of nowhere? It's a little agricultural town of about 500 people. And, I needed to get some gas anyway. I get some gas. And then there's a little park across the street from the gas station. I walk over to it. And then there's a pavilion. And I see this rock. And I thought, wait a minute. I've seen that rock before. It's a memorial rock. And it's got a few portraits on it. Watch out. And it's got a few portraits on it. One was Mark's dad. And then I went into the convenience store, and I said, oh, do you all know Colonel Dankoff? And they said, oh, yeah. Yeah, he's on the rock outside. And it was pretty cool. And, you know, it just got me thinking that we used to live in a country where somebody could grow up in a tiny little farm town of 500 people or so, and wind up becoming an advisor to President Kennedy and the Shah of Iran. I don't know if we still live in that country.
I doubt that we do, Patrick. That's my sole editorial remark. Great photo, by the way. It's posted on my show description for this show on Beacon Talk with complete attribution to you.
All right. And Jeremy's with us, too. Hey, Jeremy, where do you want to get started in terms of the stories?
I was just going to mention the young airman that they're not releasing on bail because they think he's too dangerous because they went back to high school and saw things that he posted online. This is the one that did the whole supposedly security leaks. He also said some right-wing, he had right-wing views, Christian views. He was reading his Bible. I'm calling BS on them. I'm throwing the BS flag. I think this is a little hokey. I know you don't like plans, Patrick, but I mean, maybe this kid was set up. I just find it hard to believe that this young airman had access to all of this information. I was in the Air Force, and I know all of this stuff is greatly compartmentalized. So in other words, I served in the country of Qatar in 2009. I was deployed there. And I was in maintenance for the C-17 Globemaster. And we had right across from me, you know, you had people that planned the missions. And then you had in the other corner of the room, you had non-commissioned officers who loaded the cargo. And each one had their own little, you know, we had our own little portal of intelligence. And, like, I didn't know the full disclosure. I didn't know everything about the missions that were coming down. I just knew what aircraft were broke, where they were, what parts they needed, and how long to be fixed. The point being is that the fact that this young airman got access to all of this online and released it, and now they're making this whole case of, you know, how he was right-wing, he said violent things, he was Christian. To me, this is all sort of trying to justify.
He doesn't like Lindsey Graham. Exactly.
He doesn't want to be in a closet with Lindsey Graham. I mean, who would if you're a straight, you know, white American? And it feels a little hokey. I'm just going to throw the flag down and kick it to you guys. You know, I was kind of under the impression that maybe this happened right along the time that the Restrict Act is trying to be rolled out. And we don't want these young men, you know, with VPNs pulling stuff off the internet and releasing it. What's you guys' take on this whole this security compromise by this young airman who they're still holding? They will not release him because he's such a danger to society.
Patrick, go ahead.
Well, okay. Well, I don't know. Like I've been saying, it's hard to know what to think. There are some serious people who think that this is a legitimate leak, and sometimes low-ranking military personnel do have access. Bradley Manning was a private when he leaked all this stuff to WikiLeaks, and it turned out to be pretty legit. But, you know, there are such things as psyopses, and who knows, they might be trying to fake out Russia regarding a spring offensive or not. So there's all sorts of things. And then, of course, in the article that Mark accessed, in the article, it was saying, oh, well, he spent time online looking at mass shootings. Well, who hasn't? And other things. So it's hard to know what to think. Mark, what do you think?
Well, I could go either way with it. I think at a bare minimum, if my father was still living, and of course, just underscoring this because he happened to be in positions like this, when my father was a colonel in Air Force Intelligence, he was working for the Air Force Technical Application Center, or AFTAC. When he was in it, I didn't know the name of the organization. It was literally a state secret. It existed as a separate command of the Air Force. But in those days, there was nothing on it ever mentioned publicly. And in this particular case, you can read all about it now, what they were doing and what they continue to do. Basically, what AFTAC was and is that AFTAC was running back during the Cold War, my dad's heyday. They were running the U-2 spy flights, both for the Central Intelligence Agency as well as for the Atomic Energy Commission. And I think my father would underscore what I think Jeremy is, someone with an Air Force background, has been telling us here based on his own experiences in Qatar. And it's this: how does a 21-year-old who is in an Air National Guard unit in Massachusetts get his hands on that kind of intelligence? That's a very compelling question. Was he used in a manner, a psychop situation, where this stuff was being deliberately dribbled out by big players in the intelligence community, who would then subsequently come back on this kid after his deed was done? And give him the kind of obligatory profile of right-wing nut, right? That suits the war elites, the war parties' orientation on these matters now. much as the Pentagon, an article from Don Wassel's American Freedom News this week, was talking about how the Pentagon has been rejoicing at Tucker Carlson's demise because he was a major thorn in their side and exposing their own wokeness and their own incompetence, especially in this Russian-Ukrainian situation. So there are all kinds of possible angles on this, but I think the first thing that my father, is someone who was in Air Force intelligence during the Cold War in a very significant location, he would be wondering how a guy who, again, is a part of a Massachusetts Air National Guard wing, I think it was the 102nd Air Wing of the Massachusetts National Guard or something like this, how is he accessing that kind of material? Either he was a part of a larger picture that he didn't understand and he was being used by other people who were kind of goading him into posting this stuff, or the other alternative is that that's how it screwed up our national security establishment is in this day and age with internet operations and so forth, where maybe he did know how to access this material, which simply underscores how ridiculous our national security establishment has become. His superiors there at that 102nd Massachusetts Air Guard wing, I understand from more recent media coverage, have since been fired. So who knows what the story is, but I hear where Jeremy's coming from on this.
I've got one for you, Mark. You know about top secret security clearance. Airman Teixeira had top secret security clearance, but yet they're pulling up all this stuff in his past, going back to high school, you know, that he was making racial threats online. How did he get top secret security clearance?
Exactly.
I mean, that look, I had secret security clearance as a mechanic, and they interviewed people like way back in my past. Top secret, they're going to your kindergarten teachers, okay?
Exactly.
This does not make sense to me. There's so many anomalies here. Kick it to Patrick.
Well, I'm just going to throw in real quickly here, and then we'll go to Patrick on this. Lee Harvey Oswald, classic case. Here is a Marine Corps radar operator at a top secret U-2 base in Atsugi, Japan, that had links to my dad's AFTAC organization, by the way. Lee Harvey Oswald supposedly defects to the Soviet Union. We all know that story, gets a Russian wife, all these other things. Later, he comes back to the States with a State Department subsidy to get back. He ends up in Dallas, Texas, and once he's back in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, he gets a job with an outfit that I believe was called Jagger's Child Stovall or something like this. It was a map-making firm that had all kinds of classified Department of Defense contracts, and yet they take this guy on who was allegedly a Marine Corps and Air Force intelligence-connected radar operator who defects to the Soviet Union, comes back with a Russian wife, and they just throw this guy into a job where he has ongoing access to other DOD information. Something wrong with that picture. Well, we will be back. This is the Dan Koff Report, or shall we say the Mark, Patrick, and Jeremy Show, live on RBN from San Antonio, Texas, and a couple of other places.
Rod Otsman says the essence of Jewish power is the ability to prevent the discussion of Jewish power.
Jewish power requires anybody in politics to understand it and know about it, but never talk about it.
My Awakening really sums up, with the very best evidence, the facts and the truth about race, and the fact that race drives history, and the truth about the Jewish question.
The younger you get, the greater the percentage of people who identify as alphabet soup, you know, LGBTQ, RS.
This woman, she's like, oh yeah, I identify as a koala 2 years ago. And I'm like, what?
A koala?
What? Maybe if it was Quickie Koala, that might be cool, but otherwise, no.
How about an N-word pass? Have you ever received an N-word pass from any of your black friends?
Biden invited a drag queen come for the signing of the Respect for Marriage Act. It's the Respect for Anal Sex Act. So, yeah, I mean, let's just call it like it is.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show, Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
Don't become dependent on the medical system. Get and stay healthy naturally with Xtendivite. Metals in the liver cause peroxides to get dumped into the bloodstream. Peroxides do more damage than free radicals to the arteries, and the LDL has no protection from peroxides, causing the LDL to get stuck in the arteries, creating a potential blockage. Xtendivite slowly chelates the metals away from the liver so it can dispose of what was meant to be a harmless process, peroxide. Xtendivite's seven herbs has a job to strengthen the organs and circulatory highway. Can you afford a heart attack? Xtendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with
Did you know that essential oils have had a multitude of natural health and skin uses in history, but have been somewhat forgotten by recent civilization? Susanna's Secret offers 100% pure natural oils at prices you can actually afford. Do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the one in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, and fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you will see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Purifica, another one of our products used to clean and freshen your house or give a natural scent when drying laundry. For that special lady, we offer a ginger argan oil in a beautiful cosmetic bottle or a pure argan oil, a natural acne-fighting product. Check us out at SusannaSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com. S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com.
We are back. You are listening to the Dan Koff Report on RBN live from San Antonio, Texas. We can call this particular show the Mark, Patrick, and Jeremy Show. And as a matter of fact, in the Dan Koff Report links that are all up there on VKontakte for this broadcast, we have an archival link to all of the Patrick and Jeremy offerings that I could find on RBN. So there will be a much wider international audience that will be taking a listen to some of those shows. Fascinating. I don't know how many Americans actually listen to my show on RBN, but curiously enough, we have a good international audience that tends to come to us from three or four foreign countries specifically that shall be nameless in this particular situation. One other thing I'll mention quickly, and then we'll throw it to Patrick, who was going to comment before the break. There's one other Dan Koff nostalgia thing that's in the process of taking place. My father, of course, was a full colonel in the United States Air Force, first Army Air Corps, then United States Air Force. We talked all about that. At the other end of the rank spectrum was my dad's younger brother, Arnold Dan Koff, United States Marine Corps, PFC, Private First Class, that is on his tombstone in a little town called Riverton, Iowa, which is even smaller than Hamburg, Iowa. Arnold successfully ran a grocery store and a delivery operation there in Riverton, Iowa for many, many years. But the long and the short of it is that I wanted to thank on the air Congressman Chip Roy, United States Congressman Chip Roy, 21st Congressional District here in Texas, for making the application with information I was finally able to obtain via very specialized internet search. With enough of my uncle's particulars that Congressman Chip Roy is going to get my uncle's DD-214, which has all of his World War II exploits, especially his being awarded the Purple Heart. Once I've got that DD-214, Arnold Dan Koff will have something up there for himself. Sadly, not in Southwest Iowa necessarily, except on his tombstone, but in New York. not New York City, but somewhere else in greater New York state. There is a national Purple Heart Hall of Honor. And once I've got that DD-214, my uncle will be added to that Hall of Honor. They also wanted some pictures and some stories. So that is a salute today, not to Colonel Dankoff, but to Private First Class Arnold Dankoff, United States Marine Corps, who will finally have his own combat record in the Pacific in World War II, honored up there in New York. But thanks to Chip Roy for that. Patrick, you were going to say something before we went to another break. Do you remember what it was? Patrick.
Something to do with the whole spying business. I can't
remember.
Go
ahead.
But yeah. what I did want to say is that Patrick and the new Patrick and Jeremy show ad that they played during the break, I hadn't heard that since I sent it into RBN. I didn't know they were playing it. That's really good. I'm sure it's going to be a crowd favorite. What do you think, Jeremy?
Well, I mean, I think we should use it to bomb other host shows and just like pay money to play it like over and over again. Just joking.
I hadn't thought of that, but that might be a good idea.
It plays randomly. So, I mean, you know, either you like it or you don't, but we put a lot of time into it. So, you know.
How about the other ad with your music in the background? Is that playing yet?
Yeah, that they rotate that plus the original ad we did. And it's received some, you know, it's had critical reception, good and bad.
Yeah.
Mostly good.
Well, it runs on my show with pretty good regularity, which and I'm happy that it does. And that, again, in terms of what you guys do together, is Tuesday nights on RBN at 9 p.m.
Yep, and Wednesday at 1 p.m.
And Wednesday afternoon at 1 p.m. Those are central times, folks, central times. Tuesday, 9 p.m. Central, and then Wednesday afternoon, 1 p.m. Central on republicbroadcasting.org. Very good.
Well, I know we're about
– yeah? No, go ahead, Patrick.
I know we're about to go off to another break. The uranium, the depleted uranium story I wanted to talk about just a little bit because people are hearing about that Britain is sending depleted uranium – to Ukraine for Ukraine to use. And it is a crazy thing. I want to say that it's not so much because of the highly radioactive nature of uranium-238, which is what the depleted uranium is. It's not that radioactive, although it can be a problem. It's a heavy metal. It is the heaviest of metals, pretty much. And so if mercury and lead are going to be bad for you, the uranium, to the extent it gets into you, is going to be super bad. But the other thing is, to the extent it is radioactive, if like you could hold a lump of it in your hand and it wouldn't do you any harm. But when they use it, it pulverizes. They drop it because it's very, very heavy and dense. They drop it on tanks in order to pierce armor. It pulverizes. And so it becomes dust that can be inhaled. And if you get a dust particle and it does decay, it's alpha decay, and that can cause cancer really easily.
We'll be back on the Dankoff Report in just a minute or two, and we will have Dr. Slattery addressing this whole issue of Britain introducing depleted uranium tank shells.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network.
To our friends in Ukraine.
Republicbroadcasting.org.
Hi, Tom Bolton for Ease Off. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Einstein once said, "Future medicine will be the medicine of frequencies." What did he know? Imagine you hear ocean waves caressing a beach, or a favorite song from the past, or the trickle of the babbling brook. All of these are sound frequencies that positively affect us. Terahertz is a soothing, healing frequency that has been proven to resonate at the same frequency as healthy cells. It penetrates the body and stimulates new, healthy cell growth. Want to diminish muscle aches, joint pains, and experience a greater sense of well-being? Tired of spending money on short-term remedies that never seem to work? Soothing, healing, relaxing terahertz frequency is now available, and as handy as flipping a switch. Terahertz technology is changing the course of what we were taught about how to maintain our health and well-being. To read more about this amazing breakthrough and to order your terahertz frequency wand, go to naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
Wasn't that the idea when we started out? School, that's what they said the Constitution was about. Wasn't that the idea?
We are back live on the Republic Broadcasting Network with the Dankoff Report, also known today as the Mark, Patrick, and Jeremy Show. And again, underscoring that the Patrick and Jeremy Show on RBN airs on Tuesday nights, as I understand it, at 9 p.m. Central Time. You can also catch these guys at 1 p.m. Central Time on this same RBM network. And that, of course, underscoring is Central Time. So wherever you happen to live, adjust accordingly. And, of course, you have ongoing access to their archives through republicbroadcasting.org. We've been talking about all kinds of things here. Patrick, let's get back to this whole story of Sunak and the UK defense establishment handing over depleted uranium tank shells to Zelensky and the boys that would be used, we presume, for these British Challenger 2 tanks that have also made their way to the Ukrainians. I understand, in terms of depleted uranium shells, that just as one example, when NATO was using these against the Serbians in 1999, and illegitimately so, that entire operation was illegitimate in my view. Nonetheless, almost a quarter of a century later, Serbia now has a higher cancer rate, as I have read about this, a higher cancer rate than any other country on Earth, save one. What does this portend? If this lunacy with the UK and Zelensky and NATO and with the connivance of the United States is going to result in these shells being used?
Well, so the reason that the depleted uranium is used is not because of its radioactivity. It's not because it's, you know, it's a nuclear weapon in terms of explosion. But it's used because it is the heaviest naturally occurring substance, the densest naturally occurring substance on Earth. So, for instance, one atom has an atomic weight of 238. That's why we call it uranium-238. Iron's atomic weight is about 56. So it's already 4.5 times denser than iron. And when you drop something, there's an acceleration from gravity. It accelerates. It goes faster and faster and faster. And if you dropped it on the moon or somewhere where there's no atmosphere, it's just going to accelerate until it smashes into the ground. But if there's an atmosphere, as the object travels faster and faster, there's more friction with the air. That's the wind resistance. And eventually the friction from the air, the force of the wind resistance, offsets any additional acceleration from gravity, and you reach terminal velocity. But so you can imagine how fast something, an object, a shell, might go if it's made out of iron or copper. But when you've got something that's four and a half times denser, it's going to, where an iron or copper shell would reach terminal velocity, that uranium shell is going to just keep going and going and going. It's going to keep picking up speed. So it goes very, very fast just from gravity. And, it's not like a missile that is aiming at one thing. It's kind of scattered, and it's armor-piercing, and they use it against tanks. The thing is, when it does smash into the tank, it tends to pulverize, powderize, and so you get this uranium dust. And while it's not highly radioactive, if you get particles inside your lung, for instance, it undergoes alpha decay, which is a very heavy particle, which wouldn't penetrate your skin, but it can penetrate a cell wall in your lung and can it smash into the nucleus, where it's going to cause all sorts of havoc. And it's well known that these particles would cause lung cancer. And uranium is a heavy metal. There's in addition to the radioactivity aspect of it, there's a toxicity aspect. And so you're taking a known toxic substance, pulverizing it, and spreading it around the most agriculturally productive part of Europe, the breadbasket of Europe. It's really insane and really criminal.
Yes, and this leads us, and then let's get Jeremy into this as well. When you start looking at this whole issue,
we lost you, Mark.
You still? Am I there now?
We got you now.
Yeah, you're back.
Good. Some good NSA hacking, I'm sure, here in San Antonio. By the way, the National Security Agency's global internet surveillance operation is not in Fort Meade, Maryland. It's right here in San Antonio, where they have a very cozy relationship with Bill Gates and Microsoft. So whatever that particular report was that was introduced, if the NSA wants us to include that in the show listings, I certainly would be glad to. Getting back to what we were talking about, Patrick, with this whole issue of depleted uranium shells for tanks being introduced into this conflict that continues to escalate, irresponsibly so. And then I want to get Jeremy's reaction to this. I was listening to Alexander Mercuris of the Duran yesterday, which I do just about every day. And in this particular case, he and his partner, Alex Cristoforo, were talking about this whole situation of the West's escalation in the surrogate war against Russia. And with this so-called coming Ukrainian counteroffensive, they see one of two scenarios. The least likely is that the Ukraine counteroffensive goes extremely well, and that the Ukrainians reach a point where they will even be threatening Crimea and Russia's land bridge to Crimea with a counteroffensive thought to be originating. in the Kherson Zaporozhye region. In that event, they were underscoring that at that particular point, the Russians wouldn't be quitting. They would really be taking the gloves off then in doing whatever they had to do shall we put it this way, dust Zelensky once and for all. So that would be an escalation of this present situation if the Ukrainians prevailed in the counteroffensive. The far more likely scenario is that Zelensky and company are going to get their butts kicked in this counteroffensive, that the counteroffensive will fail, and that Biden and company, Boris Johnson and company, von der Leyen and company, Olaf Scholz and company, and so forth and so on, will be so embarrassed and humiliated by Putin prevailing against NATO and the West in this surrogate war being waged against him, that they will then do something rash, and the alternative that Mercuris and Christoforou were expressing concern over is that Poland, which historically has had a claim on Western Ukraine, and that Poland, being militarized by the United States and NATO, would then be used to intervene in Western Ukraine to salvage something of what the West has been trying to do in this conflict with Putin. And since Poland is a member of NATO, there would be a grave chance of an Article 5 situation arising where you then could have a full-blown conflict between Putin's Russia and NATO, which undoubtedly, I believe, would bring the Iranians and the Chinese especially in on Putin's side, so that they see a grave risk of an escalation to a global conflict, however this Ukrainian counteroffensive goes. Now, keeping that in mind and the threats that Russia has made to have their retaliatory capabilities sharpened up if these British depleted uranium tank shells are used, one can see that this thing just seems to be going from bad to worse. Jeremy, do you think this thing is going to escalate? Is that what we're looking at here, that this depleted uranium shell deal that Sunak made with Zelensky, that that's just a prelude to some other horrible decisions being reached that is going to cause this thing to blow once and for all? What do you think?
It looks like the West wants to escalate it, but it looks like Putin's Russia is just kind of holding steady. And, you know, I agree with Patrick that originally the Russian sanctions were to try to get a populist uprising in Russia to overthrow Putin. But that has reversed. That has really been happening. That's been harming the West, in the NATO countries and the United States especially, way more. And I'm almost wondering if Putin's new strategy is just to kind of hold the line and just let the West collapse, because as the people, you know, have no confidence in their own government, and I think the U.S. empire would be first in that collapse, because he, you know, I think Russia could go harder and faster if they wanted to, and I've often wondered why they haven't. I've even toyed with the notion that maybe, you know, there's some kind of a deal going on where, you know, they have an inside deal, but that just doesn't seem realistic. What seems more realistic to me is that Putin is just waiting for the governments of the West, the people of the West, to overthrow their governments, rather than what the West wanted for the people of Russia to overthrow him. I think that's where we're at.
That could be 100% correct, Jeremy. I think that's good analysis. And just for people who have listened to my show, to review what Patrick and Jeremy undoubtedly have covered to some extent on their show, what do we have at this particular juncture, folks? We have 19 additional countries that want to join BRICS, the Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa coalition or bloc, that poses a very serious threat to the American petrodollar. We have a very tight Russia-Chinese alliance, far tighter than it was at the height of the Cold War, arguably. We have a strengthened Iran that clearly is making all kinds of political and economic and military moves with the help of Putin and with the help of Xi of China. you have a situation where the American economy, and especially the European economies, are obviously tanking. This war has exposed just how deindustrialized the American economy has become over a period of 30 or 40 years, not to mention the German deindustrialization going on in the EU. You've got a situation, of course, where there's an entirely great argument to be made that the de-dollarization and the Chinese brokerage of rapprochement between Saudi Arabia and Iran has entered the American Zionist strategy of dividing and conquering in the Middle East. Israel is in all kinds of turmoil. All of the old buttons they used to push don't seem to be working as well now. The long and the short of it is, and I think maybe this is where you're coming from, Jeremy, that the way I'm reading this war is that in terms of the de-dollarization of the world economy, in terms of the strengthening of the Russian economy, because they've got the commodities and good manufacturing capability, China has the top industrialized manufacturing economy in the world right now. Iran has been greatly revitalized since the days of the Islamic, early days of the Islamic Revolution in Iran. And with all of this that's transpiring and this effective war of attrition that Putin's Russia has been carrying on with Zelensky, Jeremy, your position sounds very similar to what Paul Craig Roberts has said a long time ago, and that is that declining empires run out of men and run out of money. And at that particular point, this entire catastrophe since February of 2014, and more particularly since February 24th of last year, seems to be leading in a direction where you could argue that Putin and Russia are engaging in a Muhammad Ali-style rope-a-dope strategy, so that not only does Zelensky punch himself out, he and his military forces punch themselves out, but it's beginning to look to me, and I think this maybe is what you're driving at, Jeremy, the United States is tiring in this rope-a-dope strategy. The American public's had about enough of this bunk. The EU is clearly running out of gas as this rope-a-dope strategy is milking them dry in terms of political influence as well as economic downturn. Maybe this is... you can argue exactly where Putin and his people have simply outthought these globalists on the other side. Is that pretty much what you'd say about this?
Yeah, I don't know if Putin listens to the Rolling Stones, but he's probably singing in his head, "Time is on my side."
Yeah,
yeah.
I've talked to Putin personally. He listens to Eddie Arnold and Bach. He has no time for the Rolling Stones. But go ahead.
Well, so the Russia was kind of pushed into this invasion of Ukraine because of the move to expand NATO and move to potentially have Ukraine rearm with nuclear weapons. These were all things that were not in Russia's control, and Russia was presented with them, and these are part of a plan from the State Department to provoke Russia into military action in order to justify unprecedented economic sanctions. And it was the economic sanctions that were intended to lead to Putin's downfall. And so the as far as the planning for this goes, I mean, the planning is taking place in the State Department. And in the Kremlin, you're getting reacting. I think there's been more reaction than active planning, because this wasn't something that Russia brought on. This was something that the West brought on. And I'm sure that Putin is noticing that. Before I say that, Putin had to be restrained when they're trying to overthrow him with unprecedented sanctions that were going to require international solidarity, everybody going against Russia. It did constrain him. He couldn't go as aggressively in Ukraine as much of his population wanted. Because Putin is viewed inside Russia not as being aggressive, but as being rather timid. That's the criticism of Putin. And he had to make sure that he could go full out militarily. He had to make sure that he could maintain an economic alliance, including China first and foremost, but India and Indonesia and Pakistan and Bangladesh and Turkey and Saudi Arabia and all these countries, and was successful in it. But the only way he could be successful was by being restrained militarily. But I'm sure he's noticing that Macron, it's the people are out in the streets trying to overthrow Macron. They're not out in the streets trying to overthrow Putin. And I'm sure that he's aware that time is on his side, and they have their, in terms of their military strategy, isn't to seize as much territory as fast as possible. It's to systematically destroy the military capabilities of Ukraine, which unfortunately means killing a lot of Ukrainian soldiers. But that's what they're doing, and they're taking their time doing it, and time is on their side. I kick it back.
That's my take on this whole thing, Patrick, and it would seem that the incredible war of attrition that Russia is successfully waging against Ukraine, not just generally, but in the horrible situation in Bakhmut, which is almost completely now taken over by the Russians, with the exception of maybe a little bit of Ukrainian presence left in the western part of Bakhmut. And of course, the Russians maybe by now do control the Chasiv Yar Bakhmut highway going through Kromovo. Once they have that completely in their control, then it's all over. The encirclement of Bakhmut will be complete. And the losses that the Ukrainians have already taken from this are beyond anything that the Western media is willing to admit, for obvious reasons. It seems to me that this war of attrition that Putin is successfully waging to defeat the West in terms of this idiotic notion of using Zelensky in Ukraine for a surrogate war against him, the Bakhmut thing would seem to be a microcosm of the larger Russian strategy, not simply militarily, but the fact is, I believe that it's entirely the case that diplomatically and economically and politically, Russia is winning, China is winning, Iran is winning, the neocons and the zyokons in the United States and in Europe are losing. And as they get more desperate, and this is the thing that is worrisome to me, I think Alexander Mercurius of the Durand is entirely right. Neocons, he always uses that term. I call them zyokons on this show. But these people don't know how to engage in reverse gear. It does not matter how catastrophic their policies are, how idiotic they are, how irresponsible they are, how destructive they are to their own populations in the United States and throughout the West. There's no reverse gear. When the policies backfire, all these people know how to do is to put the pedal to the floor and engage in even more acts of desperation that cause the hole being dug to go even deeper. And that's where we're back to these scenarios where maybe the West is going to be idiotic enough to have Poland intervene in Western Ukraine. I think if that happens, that the gloves are really going to come off. But it is amazing to me that in every single respect in this situation, and I would argue not simply militarily, economically, and politically in terms of geopolitical strategy, but I argue, and I think Larry Johnson's article on the anti-God subtext of the Ukrainian war underscores this, Putin is winning the moral battle globally in regard to what is increasingly being exposed is a globo homo West that is interested in subverting cultures with things like sexual perversion, at the same time that military threats cultural subversion, economic thievery, natural resources thievery, and so forth, all go into that game plan, and the people perpetrating that are getting it handed to them. So that would be my guess, my thinking in regard to just how catastrophically bad these Ziocon policies have been and are. I'm very, very concerned about the future. Until Jesus Christ comes, of course, and Jeremy would underscore the truth of that as well. But this is where it is.
Amen to that. I wanted to just bring this to light. How long can this American empire go, especially since in the last 10 years we've incorporated child trannyism and homo marriage? I mean, you look at the Weimar Republic. I mean, they only lasted from 1918 to 1933. And they had the trannyism and stuff, but and the horrible economy. But they weren't supporting a foreign war, and they didn't have to deal with all of the diversity and black crime and third world crime. This is accelerating at a point that is unsustainable.
Exactly.
And it's almost incomparable to anything else in history.
I think you're exactly right, Jeremy. And in this particular case, if you and I have this figured out, you can bet that the opponents of the Ziocons, meaning Vladimir Putin and his boys, the Chinese leadership, Xi and all of his political and economic advisors, the Iranians certainly are a third that I monitor in terms of their English language media. They all have this crumbling internal situation for the United States figured out, and they know that time is on their side in that important regard, too.
Yeah, here's the thing. So these countries, especially Russia and China, are serious countries. They have serious leadership, stable leadership. So does Iran. They've got very stable leadership. And so they've got smart people in the leadership. The United States does not. We don't have smart people in the leadership. We don't have people who really have genuinely figured this out.
Well, and I think at this particular point, maybe that's why Mr. Kennedy has decided to enter the Democratic primaries. You've been listening to the Dan Koff Report on RBN with very special guests, Dr. Patrick Slattery and Jeremy of Kentucky from Kentucky. Take a look at all of the archives that we have up for you. Vanderlyne is our idiot of the week again. All kinds of things up there about the Russian-Ukrainian war. Emphasize Larry Johnson and Brian Berletic in that regard, in regard to Tucker Carlson, DeSantis, and Trump, and the Kennedy candidacy and American culture. It's all right there for you in the show listings. God bless. I'll see you next week.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today because you can handle the truth.